Today's February 15th, 2024. Current Bitcoin price is $52,103.
Welcome to the BitByte podcast, your source for news and information about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not financial advice.
How was your Valentine's Day, Rick?
Oh, it was doing all right, you know? Couldn't quite quell my FOMO, if you know what I mean.
Oh, I hear you. My FOMO, like my heart beats true for Bitcoin right now.
Oh, geez. More than just my heart.
Dude, isn't it crazy? We have seen some wild action. We were messaging each other the other day when CPI numbers came out, right?
Yep.
And like everything kind of tanked. Bitcoin went down to 48, I believe.
Yep. S&P did not do much better.
No, yeah.
Actually did probably worse.
Everything was kind of getting that. We're just going to call it the tummy troubles. That's what that stuff is. Whenever the Fed comes out with something that's not indicative of tight or of loosening the quantitative easing stuff, right? Or opening up the quantitative easing again to open up the floodgates and turn on the printers.
What was the CPI number again?
So CPI came in. So if we look at everything all together, where is my chart? I had it up. Oh, there we are. So all items, it's at 3.1% for the month of January. And then if you have less food and energy, it's at 3.9%.
Wow.
So if you take away the food and the energy prices, it's higher, right? But energy, which I'm still kind of shocked at, that we haven't seen energy kind of spike more. We've kind of talked about that before recently. So
for the limited supply and how much, you know, the price of barrel is, it's kind of shockingly low.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And then all the stuff that's all the unstable type of action that's going on in the Middle East. Because oil right now, it's still sitting below $80 a barrel. It's at $77.62. A slight increase, but not anything too crazy. And before we forget, because we always do forget, we wanted to talk about our Bitcoin purchase, right?
Our theoretical Bitcoin purchase back in October.
Back in October.
27.
Yeah, it was $3,000, right?
Yep, at the time, and you know, Bitcoin was like in the high 30s, so you got 0.0885 Bitcoin at that price. Mm-hmm. And at today's price of 52,103, we're converted $3,000 into $4,611.
$1,600.
Yeah, that's over 50% profit since then.
That's crazy.
That's crazy. That's why I'm saying FOMO is starting to kick in.
Yeah.
For me, it's like, man, where can I scratch them sats at?
I know. I keep on looking at stuff in my room and, you know, I've got a lot of collectible stuff and I've always told myself like I can sell it. And right now it just doesn't seem like it's the market to sell. I look at prices of certain things and it's like, people don't have the disposable income for that stuff right now.
I can totally see that right now.
Yeah. It's tough. I think a lot of people would love to be able to. I mean, it's not, I really should have sold when the markets were going crazy, you know, when everybody's getting their stimulus checks and all that stuff. But I was like, I'll be able to sell later. But right now it's like, that's not the time. Anyways, back to CPI data. So CPI numbers came out and I think they were hoping that CPI was going to come in at 3. I think is really what they were hoping it to be. When it came in at 3.1, it came in hotter than what they were expecting. So of course, Jerome Powell has kind of come out and said that maybe he's got to raise interest rates again. I don't think he will. I think that's just talk. But we did see, basically, I mean, it's down from the previous month because when we were looking in December, it was at 3.4% for all items. And food and energy, less food and energy for the month of December, it was still at 3.9. So that's been kind of stubborn to get that to come down. And then all it takes, though, is for something like energy to go back up, and that 3.1 is going to start to increase again, right?
Right.
So
I don't know. Well, that's the thing. It's favorable conditions right now, and all they can get it down to is 3.4 or 3.1.
Yeah.
That's not the greatest sign ever.
No, it's not. And, I don't know what it's going to trend out as, especially as things kind of continue to get chaotic. We'll have to play it out and see. I mean, I know the market really was hoping that they would start to see interest rate reductions maybe by March, maybe by April. But I don't think that'll happen unless something breaks. Although, I mean, honestly, do you think at this point that they'll increase interest rates still?
I don't know. I don't think so, but who knows? You know, and I've been thinking that the economy is going to break. I mean, there's all sorts of creaks and groans in the economy, but things are still moving along for now.
Yeah.
At least in the markets, they are.
Yeah. Yes. Somebody's printing money somewhere. There's no way that when you see, you know, all the new all-time highs again, all over again, that's weird.
Well, it is weird, but, you know, there's cycles to the market. And, you know, technically, when I was looking at for real estate, it was like an 18.6-year cycle. You know, they're still waiting for another year or two before the market takes a downturn.
Yeah.
So it's hard to say. And things are at all-time highs, S&P is. So, you know, the market can stay irrational longer than you can stay solvent.
Yeah, that's true. That is very true. It's creepy to see the market doing what it's doing and CPI doing what it's doing. We'll have to just kind of wait it out and see, and just see if maybe February, I don't know what's going to happen this month. If energy prices tank, the big thing that's sticking is energy and housing. Like, those are the two things that are still, that, you know, if they could get those come down, I bet they could drop it a lot more. But, and then food pricing. Like, did you see Biden's ad? I don't know if you did or not prior to the Super Bowl, where he was talking about the bags and how, you know, food is, they're charging the same, but the quantity you're getting is less. Yeah.
He was targeting shrinkflation. He was blaming everyone else except himself for it. Yeah, it was kind of cute.
Well, and the thing that I think is funny is that, you know, those companies, and this is honest to God truth, like, those companies, yeah, they may be reducing the amount that you're getting, but they're keeping the pricing the same, which is not causing the inflation number to go up. Right? I mean, because that's what exactly would happen. If they increased the prices and you got the amount that you were getting before, guess what? That inflation number would go even higher.
CPI would have to start accounting for that too.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh man. Oh, and then it was funny too. I don't know if you saw this or not, but he, I don't know if whoever works for his Twitter profile or his X handle, whatever you want to call it, if they understand what laser eyes means.
No.
Have you ever seen laser eyes on Twitter profiles?
So, I've seen that before, but I don't really. Yeah, I'm out of the know on that one. You could tell me.
So laser eyes, back in the previous bull market, you know, in 2021, everybody was putting laser eyes on their profile, and they were like, we're going to keep laser eyes on until Bitcoin gets to 100,000, because everybody was really like convinced it was going to get to 100,000 last year, or last bull cycle.
Right.
So everybody put red laser eyes on. Somebody tagged up Joe Biden's picture, and this came from Joe Biden's Twitter account or POTUS's account, and it had him with red laser eyes. And it was supposed to be a spoof off Taylor Swift and whatever his face. What's his name?
Yeah. Whatever.
Anyways, it was supposed to be a spoof on it happened exactly the way we planned it. Like, you know, like a psyop kind of thing, right? But they put the red laser eyes on Joe Biden that night after the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I don't know if somebody doesn't know what red laser eyes means in crypto, like on crypto Twitter, but that's exactly what they just did. They just made Joe Biden like a Bitcoin bull.
Yeah. There's something weird about that, where they've tried to embrace the dark Brandon meme.
Yeah.
Like, where he's being like kind of dark and evil. And I don't know. It, everything's so weird when it comes to that. I try not to pay too much attention. But you know what? I think the red laser eyes might be onto something.
I completely agree. Completely agree. Yeah. So, you know, kind of going forward with that, looking at prices right now, I put a chart in the Discord, and we have a chart, basically, this is of Google searches. Right around the time that Bitcoin was at 50,000 last time, last bull cycle, you see this huge spike up in interest, right, in Google searches for Bitcoin.
Right.
And now we're kind of at that same point again, that same inflection point. You know, this is the highest Bitcoin's been in 2 years. That chart's not even close to where the other one was.
It's not even a half.
No, that which tells you that the retail is not looking yet. This is the general people. And for the most part, too, like, I haven't gotten any phone calls from other people that, you know, the people that know that I'm into Bitcoin but don't really pay attention. I haven't got any phone calls from them because they're not aware of what's going on with the price, is what it comes down to.
Yeah. Well, I've mentioned to several people recently that it's up to over 50, and they all like, really? Like, yeah. They had no idea.
Yeah. Yeah, no clue. We even have a friend who has Bitcoin, and I don't even think he knows what's going on with the price right now.
That's the way to do it, to be honest. Less stressful.
Yeah, it is less stressful. Less of the tummy troubles. Less of the plop, plop, fizz, fizz necessary. But yeah, so right now we've gotten to where we're at, and that's like retail's not there. Retail has always been there for Bitcoin that has driven up the price, and they're not there yet.
So that's showing it's more Wall Street.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and getting their possessions that are really driving the price.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's kind of scary to think there's a lot of different stuff that's happening on the horizon. I mean, it keeps on happening. One thing I wanted to bring up too, it wasn't part of our you know, kind of our report before we started, was we had talked about Genesis wanting to sell their Bitcoin shares within the Grayscale Bitcoin Trust. That did get approved, just as an FYI.
Okay, so that might put some downward pressure on the price.
Some downward pressure, but at the current rate. So this is what we're seeing right now with the current rate. Like the amount of inflows that are coming in, net inflows, you know, into the Bitcoin charts right now, Wall Street will eat up that 1.4 billion, I think is what it says, 1.4 billion in shares or whatever it is, or $1.4 billion in 2 days with how much they've been just chomping at everything. So it's going to be a slight blip.
A little bit of downward pressure.
Yeah, like this doesn't seem like it can phase it.
A little blip at best. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, before, like, when we were at the $38,000 level or whatever, like, that was quite a bit more pressure. But Bitcoin's now at $1 trillion market cap, right?
Yeah.
So at $1 trillion, $1.4 billion.
Eh?
It's not a huge chunk anymore.
Well, and that's kind of crazy that Bitcoin crossed back into the $1 billion market cap.
Yeah. No.
Things happening.
Yeah, I was glad to see it. But at the same time, I'm like, can you slow down just a little bit? Doesn't Wall Street need to accumulate a little bit more? And then, you know, I did put up another chart here, too, that we were kind of wanted to talk about, or at least that I wanted to bring out. I've got a chart here, and it's showing basically the outflows from the gold ETF and the rise of Bitcoin. So it looks like $3 billion worth of outflows have flown out of the gold ETF, and it looks like it's coinciding with the launch of the Bitcoin ETF.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, it's completely inverse. Like, as one's going down, the other one's just... And it's even, like, if you look at that chart, even it's starting to go parabolic on the Bitcoin chart there. The amount of purchasing, you know, that's happening.
Yeah. They're both going parabolic, just in different directions.
Yeah. I saw an interview with Peter Schiff the other day, and it was very recent. It was right after the Super Bowl. I think it was like on the February 13th or something like that. And he was talking about how, you know, nation states are not going to buy Bitcoin. They're not going to do that. They're just going to be looking at gold, and gold is such an amazing asset. And I don't disagree with the guy. Gold is an amazing asset if you want to keep your money at sub-inflation levels. because you're not making up for inflation with gold.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it's just been a sad truth. But I mean, at the same time, I think gold is so manipulated that that's kind of how it plays out. So, I mean, I think the smart people right now, they know they want to get into Bitcoin. And, you know, I saw another thing the other day, and I know we had talked about this, but the market makers like BlackRock, Fidelity, they're not really selling their ETFs yet. And now they have the ammo to kind of sell their ETFs. It, you know, you've got the biggest ETFs in Wall Street history launch, right? You've got, you know, basically something that's gone up 7%, 14% almost since it's kind of begun. You know, and they can add that to their account now and just kind of, you know, they may see that for... When you look at the gold ETF, like, or when you look at the ETFs in general from BlackRock, the annual return from them is typically about 5%. If they, but no, it's not bad on the stock market. That's not horrible. I mean, typically you want to see around 7, but something that's conservative with an ETF, 5% is probably pretty good. However, if they just put a little bit of an allocation of Bitcoin into their portfolios off those ETFs, they're kind of looking at maybe increasing from 5% to 14% just off the, you know, 1% to 2% allocation, maybe 3%. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it's stupid for them not to. They don't have to put a whole lot in, and it all of a sudden their portfolios look amazing.
Yeah, I can see that.
So one thing I wanted to bring up, and you kind of had a question too, and maybe we'll save that for the very end, but I wanted to bring this up. Have you heard of the bull market multiplier?
No, not specifically. I mean, we know that, you know, the price definitely multiplies at the halving versus, you know, the top of the bull market. It multiplies many times over.
Yeah.
But go ahead and explain it to me.
So basically what it means is we know, you know, 80% of all the Bitcoin that has ever been printed or that is sitting in wallets have not moved for over a 6-month period. Like, That money's locked up. 80% of the supply is completely locked up. We've been told there's about approximately 1.8 million Bitcoin on exchanges. That doesn't necessarily mean that they're liquid, that they're available, but that they're there, right? So basically what happens is if you took $93 million into Bitcoin, it increases the price by 1%, which... To get this, to kind of play this out or level out the playing field on this, in order to get the same kind of 1% increase, gold requires $2 billion worth of inflows.
Right.
So it takes less money to move Bitcoin because of the shallowness of the actual supply, because of the scarcity. When, you know, you kind of talked about that before too.
Yes.
So right now, you know, we're at a $1 trillion market cap. In order for Bitcoin to be $1 million a coin, you would expect it to be a $21 trillion market cap, right?
Yes.
However, all that would take currently would be $178 billion because of the market multiplier that's taking place.
And what is this multiplier?
So basically, it's the amount of available Bitcoin divided by... the 1% increase. So,
okay.
So $93 million is what it takes to bring up the price by 1%. So you may want to get a calculator handy, or you may be able to do that in your head. So if we're at, what do we need to get to a million? Like, how much of an increase is that? We're at, just take
$1 million per coin, or?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a hell of an increase. At 50,000, so you'd have to take it, that'd be 20.
20?
20 times then.
So 20?
Rounding it.
93. So 93 million gets you 1% increase. And what did you say, 20? 20%?
Or 20 times.
20 times. We need to figure out the percentage. Of what kind of an increase?
20 times is like 2,000%.
So 2,000% divided by 93 million. Or multiplied by the 93 million. Is that right?
probably multiplied by.
So that's 186 billion?
186 billion.
That's what I'm coming up with. I don't know if my math is right on that.
Yeah, I don't know. And that's the thing, though. If Bitcoin went to $1 million or started making its approach to 500,000, there's a lot of people who are holding right now that would be letting go.
Yeah. No, for sure. And you may not see full outflows, but I mean, 186 billion isn't quite 21 trillion, right? And you're right. You're absolutely right. Like, more than likely, you would not see that. However, at the same time, you'd probably see a lot more people start to FOMO in at the same time, too.
Yeah, it would definitely gain a lot of energy just from that kind of rise in price.
Now, at the same time, the question would be, does the multiplier increase as that price goes higher?
Well, that's an interesting question. Well, let's just stop and think about this real quick. Bitcoin, just the way it's set up, this is the only thing ever created where it doesn't matter how much the price goes up, the schedule will be followed to the nth degree.
Yeah.
If it went to $10 million a coin, it's not going to create more Bitcoin.
No.
Whereas if gold went to like $100,000 an ounce, there'd be like mining all over the damn place. The earth would look like it got chicken pox.
Yeah.
All the mines.
Yeah.
And that's not going to happen with Bitcoin because it is the most finite thing ever created.
Yeah. Next to time. Right?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it's, and that's the crazy part to think about is that basically, man, that basically sums up the bull market multiplier is just because the amount of Bitcoin available is so shallow. It doesn't take nearly as much to move that market cap up as what you would think. Yeah. Just due to that pressure.
That makes a lot, you know, now that you looking at it, that big picture, that makes way more sense. And especially with the halving coming up,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it just makes it that much more scarce. I mean, it's kind of crazy to think about.
Yeah. No, it's nuts. I mean, because $1 million Bitcoin to me was like, oh man, that's 2030. I think, you know, and I feel fairly comfortable saying 2030 it'll happen. But if that's all it takes, 186 billion.
Well, and that's easily doable too. Because like, what if they decide, you know, everyone in their retirement portfolio, they just got to get at least 1% allocation into Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Boom, we're there like in no time.
You're there in no time. So like 186 billion divided by what's 2 years? Like trading days. So that'd be 5 times 52, right?
5 times 52, yeah.
How many days is that?
It's about 250. 25 and a little bit more than that actually, but.
We'll say, so for 2 years, so we'll say 500 days. That's only $372 million a day into inflows into Bitcoin. And we're seeing that already, like more than that.
Yep. Which brings up the question I had, which is going to be a weird one. It'll be a first if this happens. Are we going to see an all-time high before the halving?
Had you asked me this even 3 weeks ago, I probably would have said no.
No, this is what I've been thinking about just for the past couple of days with how things are moving.
Yeah.
The fact that it's CPI numbers came off, it went down for just a second, went down to 48, and then it kicked back up to 52 out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere. There's a video... There's a video on YouTube. I don't know if you've seen this or not. This guy's sitting there and he's trying to give his analysis on the market, right? Like he's doing his crypto analysis, and he's sitting there while the chart's live, right? And he's like, "Yeah, I'm taking a big short position right now because this is going to tank." And while he says that, the price just pops, wiped out instantly.
Yeah, if you take a short position right there, you just got rushed.
Yeah. and he was telling his viewers to do it.
And he got crushed live.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oof. Oof. I gotta see that video.
It was pretty good. Like, it was just like, oh man, like he got just, and I was just, you could see it. Like, he had so much confidence when he's telling everybody, he's like, yeah, we're not going any higher. We've reached our local top. I'm taking a short position, blah, blah, blah. And then just the price pops. It's like, oh my God.
Well, here's the deal. Like, that's kind of why I keep a very grounded perspective. I have no idea where the price is going to go. The more I start paying attention to Bitcoin and what's happening in this current market, like, it is so impossible to predict.
Yeah.
I mean, we missed the, when it dipped down from 49 to 40 because Grayscale was going to get in there and sell a whole bunch. But then as soon as that was chewed up, it was back up to 50.
Yeah.
I mean, we're at local highs. I mean, and we're only 17 away from all-time highs again.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, since we were recording now, since we've been talking, we're at 52,332. When we started, we were at 52,103.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it will, like, we've seen it today, like, 52,800 was the high, and then it dropped back down to, like, 51,800. Like, Bitcoin is still volatile. It still has that volatility in play, right? We don't know what it's going to do. It's just, it's trending up.
Well, I was going to say the highs are higher than they were previously, and the lows are higher than the previous lows.
Mm-hmm.
The general trend is up right now.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you look at the chart on the, you know, 3 month right now, and it's looking pretty parabolic.
Wow.
I mean, 38,000 up to 52,000. I don't know. I think it's a moral imperative at this point. If you are on zero, and this is not financial advice, if you are on zero, you owe it to yourself and to your children and your children's children to buy a little bit of Bitcoin.
Absolutely. I don't know. We're not saying how much you need to have, but you need to not be zero.
Yeah, that's it. That's all we're saying.
That's kind of what I put in my newsletter last time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I honestly, at this point, I feel like it's a moral imperative. Like, you do not want to be on zero. Mainly because the people that are buying now, yeah, you're going to see rebalancing of portfolios and stuff like that. But when Bitcoin gets in the hand of BlackRock and they know that it's finite, they're not going to let it go again.
No.
You're not going to get that chance. And I mean, once, because we've said this before, the bull market does not begin until we cross the $69,000 mark. This is pre-bull rally stuff right now. This is the beginning of at least 18 months of Bitcoin going pretty high. I mean, and it's still possible. We've seen it in the past where you have, you know, 50% drawdowns. Those types of things will happen. Maybe. Yep. Maybe this stuff's going to be completely
different. We've seen it happen before. Yeah. I mean, they've happened before, but
I don't know what's going to happen this time.
I agree. Well, we got 2 months. I mean, it's what, April 17th is the expected halving date?
Let's check the clock. We are sitting at 60 days, 20 hours, 57 minutes, and 18 seconds.
60 days.
Yep. Wow. 60 days till we hit block 840,000. And then it halves. Yeah, I really don't know. I really feel like it's a, like I said, it's imperative that you get off zero in some way, shape, or form. And I know, I feel like a broken record player because I even wanted to talk to people about that at the Super Bowl, right? Like, when we were there.
Yep.
I mean, certain people we know do have some, but certain people we know don't. It's just like,
I've been trying to tell my dad for a little while now, and he's ignored me. He changes the subject. So,
yeah.
I'm not going to go na-na-na-na later, but, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say to that other than, I mean, if you have loved ones and you do, if you have gotten into Bitcoin, you probably need to at least talk to them a little bit about it. This may be the wealth transfer that, you know, everybody talks about happening. That debt's got to go somewhere. and Bitcoin's a black hole that'll suck it up.
Yep. And I'm just wondering if this is really like the investment of our lifetime. I really do think it is.
I really do too.
We wouldn't have done 100 episodes on this podcast if we didn't think it was.
Yeah, I wouldn't have held through all the bear markets and bull markets and still never sold, you know, until I absolutely had to, right? I mean, but yeah.
Yeah.
So anything else you wanted to bring up today?
Hodl tight.
Hodl tight. That's a good one. It's kind of funny too, like our episodes are getting longer and longer since all this has been going on. But newsletter. Rick did a great newsletter this week. You can sign up for it at www.thebitbypodcast.com/signup. While you're there, you can also get yourself a hardware wallet if you decide you want to go ahead and you want to do some self-custody of your Bitcoin, because it's not your keys. I highly recommend. Yes. Not your crypto. Just keep following us. Follow us on Twitter or X, whatever the case may be. And we'll keep putting these episodes out and share them with people. Like if you find anything that's useful out of this, if you want to buy the hardware wallet, you can get it from our site. You're buying directly from the manufacturer. We just get a little bit of a kickback and it helps support us. If you want to support us, sign up for the newsletter. It gets you a checklist that actually walks you through your self-custody. If it's your first time doing it, it can be kind of nice to have that little handhold while you're going through it, because it's a nerve-wracking experience. So
indeed. And we're working on the basics, which we will also give out to people who sign up for the newsletter.
Yep.
It's free content. It'll be good, especially for the family that doesn't know anything about Bitcoin and you want to get them up to speed. That's what we're hoping to take care of.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So thank you all for listening. We will talk to you all again soon.
All right.